Welcome to this particular lecture, which is about rest. Firstly, may I just welcome my dear parents who are here. My mum and my father, sitting over there, and it's nice to see you. And a couple from Stanmore, nice to see you too. We also have, if anyone comes in afterwards, if you kindly let them know that there are sheets, which I've just handed out, available at the edge of the stage. Just have a quiet word into anybody who comes in a little bit later in their ear, that there are these handouts. These handouts are quite important because today we're not just talking about rest, which is a very important fundamental part of Shabbat. We're also talking from a Hasidic perspective, and it can get quite deep, which is why I've given these handouts, which will help you follow the theme with me. When I talk about Shabbat to my guests, and just wait a couple of people, we have some handouts here. When I ask my guests about their own reflections on Shabbat, when I ask myself what Shabbat means to me, a number of things come to mind. The first one is, on a very basic level, it's a day of rest. Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod, says the Almighty, 6 days of the week shalt thou do work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. So most people take advantage. We light the Shabbat candles, we bring peace, harmony, tranquility into the home, and then we eat a good meal, and then that most unforgettable part of Shabbat, the Shabbat Shlof. Every time I come to Shul on Shabbat Mincha, the inevitable question is, did he manage to get a good Shlof? Did he manage to get a good sleep, a good rest? And invariably, my answer is, probably not. And what I'm going to address today is why sleep and rest is a good thing, but the extra part of that question, if you look at the actual name of the program, is Shabbat, a day of rest. What about the rest? I'm going to try focusing on rest as a concept of Shabbat, but also what happens the rest of Shabbat that will make it into not just a day of rest, but a day of inspiration and a day of uplifting qualities, which will give us all the impetus, all the strength, all the energy for the week ahead. Let's just look at the basics. On your page, you'll see Rashi writing. A little bit tricky to follow it. And it says as follows. Rashi mentions this in the Gemara of Megillah. And he says, Ma haya ha'olam chaser menucha. What was the world lacking? At the end of the 6 days, Hashem, God, is about to call it a day, so to speak. To call it a week. He's already embarked on creating a magnificent universe with every little vital component. As we are learning more and more, as we are more conscious of our environment, we realize how every single thing depends on another. There's a very fragile ecosystem. And Hashem put all that into motion during the 6 days of creation. Comes the seventh day, and Hashem's just surveying how much he's done so far. He says, I know there's something still lacking. Menucha, rest. Bata Shabbat, Bata Menucha, Vezehu Gamra. So Rashi, explaining it, says when Shabbat came along, Menucha, rest, came with it. And that was the end of the creation process. From that point on, we were going to go, at that time, into a very beautiful, most magnificent, holy, sacred, but also a restful day. Now I mentioned about the Shabbat Shlof for a reason. First of all, it's mentioned in Hasidic, in mystical sources, particularly the Arizal Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, who explains in one place, he actually says it's a mitzvah to have a sleep on Shabbat. In another place, he says it's good for the person to have rest on Shabbat. But one of the sources for this is a play on words. And if you look at the next line, you'll see the word Shabbat, Shin, Bet, Taf. But next to it, I have put extra letters. The first word is Shina, the second one is B'Shabbat, and finally Ta'anug. Making a total of sleeping on Shabbat is a pleasure. But a pleasure for whom? A pleasure for the human being, a pleasure for God, a pleasure for our soul. whom exactly is it referring to when it says Shina b'Shabbat ta'anug, that sleeping on Shabbat is a pleasure? So the first thing I'd like to take you on today is a basic principle of pleasure. What does it mean to have pleasure on Shabbat? What does it mean to honor the day of Shabbat? So we take from the prophet Isaiah chapter 58 verse 13, where he says as follows. This is part, by the way, this is part of a Kiddush, certainly in the Chabad tradition. This is part of the prelude to the actual Al Kain, which we say for Kiddush on Shabbat day. And it says as follows, Im tashir b'Shabbas raglecha, asos chavatzecha b'yom kachi, and then the bold words that I have added, v'karasa l'Shabbas oneg, l'kdosh Hashem m'chubad. We'll go straight to the English, verse 13, if you restrain your foot because of the Sabbath, from pursuing your business on my holy day, and here are the underlined words, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and then it carries on, and shall honor it, not doing your own ways, not pursuing your own business, nor speaking of vain matters. The next verse again, and I'm going to say the first four words in Hebrew first, As tisanag al Hashem, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. So what we see from the prophet Isaiah is the principle of pleasure, the principle of honor. Two very important components of Shabbat, which are first of all to honor the Shabbat, and then to derive some sort of pleasure, because when you do that, you're not only tuning in to a very high level of pleasure, you yourself can gain a tremendous amount of pleasure. But what does it mean, respect and pleasure? Rambam, which you don't have on your sheets, but I can tell you, in his Laws of Shabbat, chapter 30, if you have an opportunity to look it up, he explains that respect is for a person to bathe oneself before the Shabbat, take a shower, take a bath, make yourself feel good, get into the mood in a very physical way, by first of all changing the clothes, changing your whole body's attitude towards Shabbat. He also says a person should put on nice clothes, special clothes for Shabbat, and go to shul. By going to shul, together with your friends, together with your colleagues, together with your community, you're beginning to gain and to tune in into this wonderful day. And then he goes on to say, what is pleasure? Right, we know what respect is. Respect is take a shower, get into nice clothing, go to shul. I can add to that, come home, make kiddush, spend quality time with the family in a very spiritual way. You can add to that, when you talk about respect, not to talk about business matters, to have some sort of spiritual content on the day of Shabbat. But what is pleasure? So Rambam explains that pleasure means to have good food, good drink, good wine, so that the meal itself is elevated. It's not just like you do on a regular day, and unfortunately in this day and age, in contemporary times, we tend to rush ourselves during the week. We hardly have a moment for ourselves, let alone for our families. Comes Shabbat, and the way we have pleasure is by looking after ourselves and our families. We sit down, we're calm, we're relaxed. Because we're not talking about other matters, we're just focused on Shabbat, then we allow the beautiful and wonderful brightness, the warmth, the radiation of Shabbat candles to illuminate not just our homes, but also our mood. We feel better. We feel in that very, very super mood. In fact, if I can just bring in, it's not really part of rest, but it's certainly part of pleasure. There's the famous story in the Talmud of a rabbi and the emperor who were close pals, close friends, and they were in each other's homes. The king himself, the emperor, had a kosher kitchen and store, and he was able to invite the rabbi over. And one time he came and visited the rabbi on a Friday night. Now, you know, Friday night, he had fish and salads, nice chicken soup, and then he had chicken and good meats, good wine. The ambience was terrific, the food was delicious, everything was perfect. And the king said to the rabbi, I'd like to do the same. So he invited the rabbi on a nice Sunday night, and the rabbi gave the menu and all the details absolutely to precision. But when they sat down, the king said, it's beautiful, it's delicious, but something is missing. And the rabbi told him, the ingredient that's missing is Shabbat. Now, on one level, it's a very spiritual thing. Shabbat is Shabbat. And it somehow incorporates itself into everything we do, including the food itself. But I can also suggest, if I may, on a very practical level, because you allow yourself to become more relaxed, to enjoy the pleasure of Shabbat, to respect the Shabbat itself, your whole outlook has changed. And therefore, the way you eat has changed, which translates itself into the food itself tasting better. Instead of just having a rushed dinner, Friday night dinner, because you have engaged with the day of Shabbat, not just a spiritual force, not just a spiritual energy has entered into the food, you yourself have allowed that food to become a pleasurable act, which is, of course, the day of Shabbat. The Talmud adds, and this you have in your sheets right before the line, Talmud Bavli, this is the Babylonian Talmud and the Tractate of Ta'anit, also adding why we feel different on Shabbat. Obviously it's what we put in, all the work and preparation that we put in, which we'll come back to later. And it says, the Amar Resh Lakish says, Neshama Yetera Nitna Bo Ba'adam Be'erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, a person is given an added soul, or perhaps a higher dimension of soul, a person who has a very divine essence within. That divine essence has different layers. And the layer of Shabbat is supreme. It's very, very high. And you feel it on Erev Shabbat, and that puts you in the mood. B'motzei Shabbat maklin ata mimenu. As soon as Shabbat goes out, it's taken away. One of the reasons why we smell the besamim, the spices, at Havdalah, is one of the reasons given is that it allows us to reinvigorate ourselves, to revive ourselves, following the disappointment of losing that extra dimension of soul. And, on a play of words, Shenema, as it says, talking about Shabbat, Shabbat bayinafash, which actually literally means Hashem rested and stopped work. But if you look at the last word, vayinafash, you can separate it, and kivan shashabbat, vay nefesh. Once Shabbat goes out, vay nefesh, vay oyvei, woes to me, that this beautiful soul that has allowed me to engage with the day of Shabbat, to enjoy the pleasure of Shabbat, to enjoy the good food, has now gone. What we have so far, by the way, is basic. This is before any Hasidic insights into Shabbat itself. What we have is already very, very high. The Talmud itself, the written form of the Torah, and then the oral explanation, without going into any mystical depth, already tells us that Shabbat is special because we have a nefesh, we have a higher dimension of soul, and also because we have worked hard to allow us to enjoy that pleasurable day. But I'm going to take you a little bit deeper now, so you're going to have to focus. The first source that you're going to see below the line is from the Friday night Kiddush, which should be very familiar to everyone. It starts Yom HaShishi. Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. And then, Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i Melachto Asher Asa, which of course translates that Hashem, God, Elokim, concluded on the seventh day his work which he had done. If you then, okay, let's carry on reading it. Vayishbot bayom ha-shvi'i, he rested on the seventh day, mikom melachto asher asah, from all this work. Vayivarech Elokim et yom ha-shvi'i vayikadesh oto, and Elokim, God, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Kivo Shabbat, because on that day, Shabbat. Literal translation, on that day he rested mikom melachto asher bara Elokim la'asot. Now, when you say a bracha, when you talk about Hashem, and you talk about Hashem's name, when you look into a siddur, you'll come up with the following four-letter holy word, divine name. Baruch Ata, the next word which we say is Hashem. Hashem means the name. That name is spelled Yud, followed by a Hey, followed by a Vav, and another Hey. That is what we call the name of Hashem, which we don't read according to the vowels, we pronounce it Ad Hashem. That is a very important name of Hashem, which I want you just to think about for a moment. Baruch Ata, then the four-letter divine name, Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. Another popular way in which we address Hashem, in which we address God, is Elokim, but with a hey, of course. Elokim is another way in which we address and we recognize the God of the universe. Now, in Hasidic teachings, it puts a definite difference between the name Elokim and the name, the divine name of Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. If you look into your paper, you'll see I've quoted here from Tehillim, from Psalms, where it says, Ki Shemesh Umagen Hashem Elokim, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Now, if you carry on reading on your page, there's a quote here from Tanya, from the book, the Handbook of Chabad Philosophy, written by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, whose anniversary, coming out of prison, is coming up this Thursday and Friday. He was arrested for promoting Yiddishkeit, Judaism, in Tsarist Russia. And he was arrested, and for 53 days he was in jail, and on the 53rd day he was released, and he managed to write this fantastic book of philosophy. It's a very deep book, a very enriching book, which is called the Tanya. But the Tanya itself is divided into different sections. This comes from Sha'ar HaYichud V'HaEmunah, which is the gateway to the Yichud, the oneness of Hashem, and the concept of faith itself. And here we're going to read together the Alter Rebbe, as we call him, the Grand Rabbi, the Old Rabbi, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, his insight into what that verse that I've just quoted from Psalms means, and then we will come back to what it, how it relates to us every single Shabbat. And it says as follows, it's on the last line, Ki hine kisiv, for it is written as follows, Ki shemesh umagein Hashem Elokim, as I mentioned before, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Interesting terminology to describe Hashem, sun and a shield. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains, Pirush, what that means is, Magen hu na'teik la'shemesh. The Magen, the shield, is the shield for the sun. The sun itself is a very, very powerful and unbelievable part of our cosmos. And as we know, it must be protected, not from itself, but we, the universe, from its powerful rays, from its powerful heat. So the sun has a shield. Lahagen, to protect. Sheyuchlu, I turned around. Sheyuchlu habriot lesavna. So that the people who are created in the universe will be able to tolerate the sun. The sun, has, again, as has been recognized in modern science, the sun is crucial to the growth of everything in this universe. It helps plants to grow, the grass to grow. It helps water. It helps us to receive certain vitamins and certain health benefits. Of course, being in it too long, like everything else, is no good. But in moderation, the sun has unbelievable, excellent qualities and properties. But if the sun was allowed to shine on its own, without any sort of protection around it, any sort of shield, we would not enjoy those benefits. He carries on. Just like the shield itself protects the sun, in other words, protects us from the sun, here you can see the four-letter name of Hashem. It's spelled slightly differently, but it carries the four important letters, Yud, He, Vav, and He. We pronounce it Havaya, which one can pronounce, whereas the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav Hey, one would not be allowed to. So the Rabbi Shneur Zalman is telling us that the name Elokim, this name Elokim which we have spoken about, one of the ways in which we relate to Hashem, protects the other name, Yud, Hey, Vav Hey. Well, what's going on over here? What do you mean protects a name? How can you protect a name? What's the difference? The sun, I can understand. The sun has powerful rays, and therefore you need to have protection. Certainly we as creatures of the universe need to have protection. But the name of Hashem needs protection, in other words, from the universe itself, and it's protected by Elokim. So he carries on. Second line, third word. D'shem havaya pirusha shemahave et hakol mi'ayin liyesh. What does the word havaya mean? It's not just the name. Everything in this universe has a code, a DNA, something by which it exists. That is the world in which Hashem created. We don't see it. You walk into an auditorium, you see a stage, floor, chairs, lighting, curtains. But it's all part of a world in which Hashem's signature is very present. How? Through His name. In what way? Well, Havaya, the actual translation of Havaya, is to bring into being. Bring into being something that wasn't there before. To make this particular lectern, one would take wood from a tree. So the tree is pre-existing. And then you go through the process through which this lectern is created. The same with every single item in this universe. It's like the old joke where scientists finally realized that they've come to the point where they can create the universe on their own. They don't even need the Almighty anymore. And they say, God, You created a fantastic world, but frankly, we feel we are now able to play God. We can create a universe of our own. In fact, we can create man to start with. We can create a human being. And God said, I'm impressed. Very good. Go for it. So they took some earth. And Hashem said, hold on a minute. That's my earth. You said you can start from scratch. You've got to start from that. Don't take my earth, don't take my ideas and create a unit. By the way, to do that from earth is in itself an impossibility. But Hashem said, you can't even start down that route because you're taking something that is pre-existing. Try to play me, says Hashem, by bringing not just the universe into being, but all the intricate little things that I've created, and the large things that I have created. Me'ayin liyesh, from nothing to something. You try that, it's impossible. Human beings can create yesh me'yesh, something from something, we can do. But to start without any sort of ingredient, without any sort of, even an atom, which is not visible to the naked eye, is also already there, created by Hashem. So for a human being to create even intricate little tiny things beginning with atoms, you need a pre-existing thing. What brought the world from nothing into something? Havaya. When you see the word Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, you are addressing Hashem as He is in His most powerful, creating. We also create. And when we create, we are partners in creation with Hashem. But the ultimate creator, the ultimate God, Hashem, when we look at the words Yud Hey Vav Hey, we are addressing Him as He creates. He carries on the second line. V'hainu, this means Hachayus Hanishba B'chol Rega Mamish B'chol Abruim, the life which is conveyed and brought every single second in every single creature. Mimotza Pi Hashem comes from the utterances of the mouth of Hashem. Hashem is, if you wish, speaking. Verucha and His spirit. Not only did He bring this universe into being once, according to mystical philosophy, Hashem is doing it every single second. The world which will be here in 10 seconds time is fundamentally different from the world which is here now. Not, you won't notice it, but it's a different force. There's a different life force, a different energy. It's almost like Hashem switching off and switching on, but He doesn't need to. Everything is overriding each other. That's what's happening. Every single second, Hashem, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, is happening. He's bringing the world into being. At least He's giving the created beings an opportunity to continue breathing and operating. And Rabbi Shneur Zalman continues, Ki lo di lahem v'mashniru b'sheshet d'mei bereshis. It's not enough that things were created on the 6 days of creation, li'es kayomim bazeh, that it should last. But rather, it requires a constant input, a constant sense of havaya creation. Okay. Have we gotten what havaya is? The name of Hashem, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey? Yes? We've understood how that is able to bring the world into being, not just once, but constantly. Now, why does it need to be covered? Okay? Well, let's continue, and then we'll try and analyze it, following which, we'll try and wrap up what happens on Shabbat, and what makes this day so magical and so pleasurable. V'hine, Shem Elokim, Hu Shemidat HaGevura V'HaTzimtzum. Now, the Alter Rebbe continues in chapter 6 of the same volume in the Tanya by saying that the name Elohim now, it's another name, it's the same Hashem, but with a different name. This Elohim is about contraction. It's about compressing. V'lachen hu gam kein begimatria hateva. In numerical number, and Judaism is replete with things to do with numbers. So the word Elohim, which is made up of five letters, if you take out the kuf and put in a hey, you come up to the same numerical equivalent as the word hateva, which means nature. Lefi shemastir ha'oshel amala, excuse me, hamahave umechaya ha'olam, because it conceals the light which is able to create the world. In other words, the name of Hashem, Yud Hei Vav Hei, is a powerful, powerful light. And if that light, that energy, that source was to be constant, we could not survive. Because the physical, somehow or another, needs to be married with the spiritual. And to allow that to happen, there's a very, very fine process called tzimtzum, contraction and compression, where the light itself is, if you wish, covered, so that we could survive. And essentially the world around us, the natural world, contains God within it. Even this wooden lectern, we look at it as a piece of wood, actually this is a manifestation of God Himself. It's just hidden. Elohim. It's nature. It's part of nature. You look at nature and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But nature itself is also Hashem in a different format. It appears as if the world, the natural world, continues on its own. Yeah, there's no divine. It's all, in the words of a particular atheist, it's all a delusion, God forbid. It's very hard to prove. However, there are ways to do so. And more importantly, it's there, even if you don't see it. But it's all encapsulated in this name, Elohim. Elohim, the power of God, which is there in nature, but which you cannot see. Zehu magen v'nartek l'shem havaya. This is the very shield and protection, if you wish, for the name Havaya, which is the powerful name which is creating the world. L'ha'alim ha'or v'hachayot, to conceal this light, to conceal this energy. Ha'nimshach m'shem havaya u'mahave me'ayin l'yesh, which is drawn from the name of Havaya, which is creating from nothing into something, so that it will not be revealed, because as a consequence of this light being revealed to us, of this powerful energy, we would become nullified. For example, if you put in, when you go to the shop to buy bulbs, this is before the EU's directive on what type of bulbs you can use, but normally you go to a shop and you know that if your particular appliance, if your fixture, if the appliance says 60 watt, then if you put in a bulb of 100 watt, it will blow. It's too much for what that thing was designed for. The world, if you wish, is exactly the same. It's a physical world, and Hashem deliberately wants it to be a physical world, because within the physical world, you can take the opportunity to reveal, to uncover, to bring out the godliness in it, which is our task. That's what human beings are here for, in order to constantly utilize our God-given physical talents to expose the godliness in the world. And in this physical world, God knew if He puts His powerful energetic light, the energy that creates this world from nothing into something, the world can't handle it. So there has to be some sort of progression, some sort of contraction, some sort of compression, some sort of minimizing, if you wish. It isn't really minimized, but it has to go through our imagination, our human imagination, in order to eventually have a world where you cannot see Him clearly. Now, just to wrap up, there are two names. Elohim is the name of God as we know it in nature. Havaya is the name of God as it is above nature. It's the powerful, powerful energy of Hashem. By the way, the two are the same thing. It's just one in its wrapped up way, and one is Hashem in His exposed way, meaning the physical world. Now let's go back to the Kiddush. So turn your page over, and let's read this Kiddush again and see what's happening. Yom HaShishi. Starting again, pick up your cup of wine. Yom HaShishi. Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. The heavens and the earth and all their hosts have now been concluded. Hashem has created something, a beautiful universe and everything in it out of nothing. What happens next? Vayechal Elokim. Interestingly, it uses a different word now. It says Elokim finished. In essence, you could argue that not only did Elohim conclude the world, it was also an opportunity for Elohim itself to stop. Meaning, the nature with which conceals the name of Elohim, because Elohim equals Hateva, nature, that nature has now been allowed to stop. There's a new process. There's a new beginning. There's a new, something very, very brand new is happening. In fact, if you look again, go turn back to the second side. I've quoted from the Ten Commandments where it says, "The Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat." And what does it say after that? Lashem. Notice how it doesn't use the word Elohim now. Now it uses the word Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. It's almost telling us, Mayechal Elohim, the world that you know, which is very much identified with Elohim, because it's nature. Why is it nature 6 days of the week? Because that's what Hashem wants. He wants us to be engrossed, to be absorbed within the physical world, to eat and to drink and to work and to do all the important things that the physical world requires just to be sustained. But then Hashem says, Elohim, I take a rest on that day and so do you. Because Shabbat, Hashem comes out. That's the name of Hashem, the name Yud Hey Vav Hey, which is a very powerful light, now enters the world. The universe is now saturated with a different type of spirit. It's a more pleasurable spirit, says Hashem. I'm not concealed anymore. I'm much more exposed. I'm much more known. I'm much more obvious. And because, says Hashem, I'm in a pleasurable mode, you will also feel and you will tune in to the same pleasure. In fact, if you look at the word Shabbat, and you've got it on your sheets, and you switch around the letters, what do you get? Tashev. The root of Tashev is Shev. To return. Hashem says, I have to almost be in a state that I feel uncomfortable. Which means, if people can say I'm a delusion, if people can question where I am, it makes me uncomfortable. But that's 6 days of the week. I give you that task to make me feel more comfortable. But on Shabbat, says Hashem, on Shabbat, Tashev, I go back to the way I was before I created this world. Before there was a physical component. Everything was spiritual. And when everything was spiritual, everything was uplifted. Everything was divine. There was no opposition, so to speak. Everything was super. Vayechal Elohim, it's the godly part where Hashem feels he has to be, it, as part of the physical world, concludes Shabbat Lashem. On Shabbat, he returns to the way he wants to be known as a God recognized and embraced. You can imagine, when we go back to a state of calm, a state of relaxation, we feel good. And if we feel good, our family feels good. You know, when we come home, when we're in a bad mood, had a rough day at the office, everybody feels it. It's not just you, but everybody around us feels the same. It's just an important point to consider, by the way, to ponder. But on Shabbat, Hashem says, I'm actually in a very calm, relaxed mood. And because I'm in a relaxed mood, you can also be in a relaxed mood. And you'll feel it, and you'll appreciate it. And because of that, there's a pleasure that is permeating the whole day. And part of that pleasure is rest itself. What does it say? In the prayers of, certainly in Musaf, in the Ashkenazi tradition, Yisluchu b'malchutcha, may they rejoice in your sovereignty, Shomrei Shabbat, those who observe the Shabbat, and the next two words, V'kor'ei Oneg, and those that call it a delight. And he carries on till the end, where I've made the words bold, V'yit'angu mitzuvecha, and therefore they also enjoy the pleasure from your good, your goodness. Not only do we allow ourselves to become pleasurable and to recognize Shabbat as a day of rest and a day of pleasure, because we do it for the right reasons, which is that Hashem himself is enjoying the pleasure, we are able to draw down the most beautiful blessings which come from a God who is in a pleasurable, relaxed mood. What's actually quite interesting, I didn't realize it at the time, but as I was preparing this shiur, I realized that in yesterday's sedra, there's a classic Hasidic spin, which allows us to appreciate this point in a very profound way. And I've put it actually on your sheet. It's verse 10. I can't remember which chapter it is. It's the story following his battle with an angel, Yaakov's wrestling with a man of God, and the man of God tells him about his name. But interesting, that's not the point where Yaakov is given the name forever. Hashem himself, God himself, reveals himself. He has a communication, he has a rendezvous with Yaakov, and he says as follows, Vayomer lo Elokim. Hashem says to him, Elokim. Every time you see that word now, remember, Elokim, Hashem as he is in nature, but that's not my point right now. Elokim said to him, Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov. Your name will no longer be Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael yiyeh shemecha. From now on, your name will be Yisrael. Vayikra et shemo Yisrael. And he called his name Yisrael. Now you know that the Torah continues to refer to Yaakov not just by Yisrael, but by the name Yaakov as well. Here Hashem says, no longer will you be called Yaakov. You will only be called Yisrael. And yet we continuously read both names. It's almost like there are two identities. There is an identity of Yaakov and an identity of Israel. Now Hasidic philosophy has a lot to say on this. But I want to draw out the one which connects to Shabbat, because that's what we're here to discuss today. Yaakov, what does Yaakov do? Yaakov is a battler. He's a wrestler. Not only does he fight with Laban, with his father-in-law, in other words, he struggles, he contests, there's always something happening, there's tension, there's conflict, there's always some sort of trouble. But afterwards he manages to prevail. Following that, he has a battle with an angel, and he prevails again. Which is one of the reasons why he was called Yisrael, because it means he not only fought with human beings, he also fought Kael, the last letters of Yisrael. You fought with God, or God's divine emissary, and you succeeded, you prevailed. But Yaakov is the point of struggle. Yisrael is beyond the struggle. He's victorious. He's successful. That's why he's called Israel. He wasn't called Israel before the struggle. First he had to prove himself. Once he had proven himself and he came out on the right side and he came out successful and victorious, then and only then was he called Israel. Now let's just try and put those two names, Yaakov and Israel, for us. Don't forget we are Bnei Israel. We're not called Bnei Abraham or Yitzchak, we're called Bnei Israel. The children of Israel, who is also Yaakov. Yaakov is our weekly struggle. Every single day of the week we struggle to get out of bed. We struggle to pray. Prayer, by the way, is another dimension of Shabbat, where during the week it's difficult. On the day of Shabbat, it should be good. Depends how you go to shul. It's a day of calm. They have relaxation, there's no urgency. If shul goes on a little bit, that's a good thing, because we are trying to connect on a day of pleasure with a divine pleasure. But during the week we are more like Yaakov. Everything's a struggle. Business is a struggle. Family can be a struggle. Well, certainly an effort. There's certainly hard work involved. Everything we do involves some sort of struggle. There is no one in this world that I'm aware of who's having it absolutely perfect all around. There's always epesa kvetch. So, you know what they say? Keep your own peckle. Everybody's got their own issues to confront. And therefore, Yaakov, during the week, we struggle. Yisrael is beyond the struggle. Meaning on Shabbat, when we finally communicate, by the way, the word Aleph Lamed, Kel, is also a dimension of Hashem's name, which is closely related to creating the world. It's not Elohim. It may share two letters with the name Elohim, but it's very different from Elohim. It's much higher, if you wish. So during the week, it's natural that we cannot tune into pleasure, because not only are we meant to be struggling, Hashem himself if I can say so, is going through that struggle with us. But on Shabbat, says Hashem, I'm elevated by Echal, the Elohim part, the part where I have to do with the natural world. It's finished. From this week, it's finished. Let's move on to Shabbat. When we move on to Shabbat, I am in a much more vibrant mood, much more pleasurable mood, and so should you. And he I just wanted to conclude with a very important point, which is what the Gemara says, Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbat, yochal be'Shabbat. You can't achieve the success, the pleasure of Shabbat, unless you prepare beforehand. Just like on a Friday afternoon, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, the heroes of the house, the women of the house, are busy working hard to create a delicious Friday night dinner and also something for Shabbat. Not only are they preparing, we're also going to be enjoying it. Can you imagine if you come home and there's nothing? What are you going to eat on Shabbat? You can't cook. You have to have cold food, God forbid. The worst thing is not to have that wonderful, at least Friday night meal. Mishetarach, he who puts in a tremendous amount of effort on Erev Shabbat, on the day before Shabbat, Yochal b'Shabbat, that person can enjoy Shabbat. It's the same, not just with food, but with the way our attitude to life, our approach to life. When we work, when we are in the natural world, doing and helping and sharing, trying to bring inspiration, but struggling through the week, the more we put effort into it, the more on Shabbat we are able to step back and recognize that we have achieved and we have succeeded. And therefore we are like Israel. We have wrestled, now we can enjoy, now we can relax. This particular time that we live in, this world, this beautiful natural world where Elohim is ever present, it's waiting for a time when Havaya, that wonderful name that doesn't have to hide, it doesn't have to be concealed, can also reveal itself, which will be when Mashiach comes. Which is why the Gemara says, Misha Tarach be'erev Shabbos. He who works hard on Erev Shabbat, that's now. Not just the 6 days of the week, but throughout these millennia, and we're now at the final millennia, where we are working hard to elevate, to try and discover, to try and bring out the godliness of the world, to ensure that God is not a delusion, God forbid. He's not an illusion, but that He is a very living, visible reality. The more we put our effort into it, Yochal b'Shabbat, we can be guaranteed that when it comes the time of Mashiach, which is the supreme Shabbat of all Shabbats, we will indeed enjoy a tremendous time of pleasure, a tremendous time of uplifting, a tremendous time of blessing, of hope, and of only good things. May it happen very, very soon. Amen. If you have any questions, we've got about 2 minutes. And L'chaim, may you have an easy week. May your difficulties and your wrestlings and your struggles indeed be nothing. May the Almighty bless you all with, as they say, bonei chaye amazayna, good health with from your children, good health in general, and an easy sustenance. May you find lots and lots of ways to material wealth, which will bring you, please God, lots of other wealth on Shabbat. You can sit back and truly enjoy the energy and the spirit and the pleasure of Shabbat. L'chaim.
The second lecture shall now be drawing to a close. And a half an hour break before third series of lectures. Mincha will travel to the shul straight away, and those ladies who wish to come in room 105 will be ready to come there as well. Please note that there's a cafeteria with both sandwiches and beers to eat and drink. You must not want to go there, sit, relax, have some sleep, have a chat. Also, the school apple tickets available for the beautiful life that has been so generously donated, and those are available from the entrance square. Thank you.
I put it every day, I put it very, very good.